It's really such a great privilege to be here. You know, when Marcella had this crazy idea of starting a petition, I wasn't sure exactly where that was going to go. I think, certainly in the last number of years, I always hoped to maybe have the opportunity to come to Stern and teach a class, but I think this, in many ways, this is better. To get together once in a while just to learn Torah Lishma and just to try to learn together and to grow together and to try to inspire one another, I think is really an amazing thing. So I thank you, the extended student body. I want to thank in particular Rachel Cement, who I don't even know. I'm sure some of you know her. The director of the Office of Student Life, who helped to arrange some of the practical matters of making this happen. And again, I thank you for just inviting me to come learn with you, especially this time of year when there's so much on our minds, so much to learn about and to think about. You know, the end of Elul is a time that sometimes, certainly as the Yom Naram get closer and closer, it's a time where we feel a certain amount of pressure on our shoulders. I was asking some of you how school's going, and you can already see as the first assignments come in a certain amount of pressure mounting and thoughts of tests. And the truth is the test that we're preparing for, the time period in which we find ourselves, is a time that fortunately or unfortunately is a time that comes with a bit of pressure. Something that I think we all feel, the Yom Naram are approaching, they're upon us. It's Motzei Shabbos already, we begin to recite Slichos. It's a time of the year, at the end of the year, where we feel very soiled by our averos. It's a time of the year in a sense that for lack of a better word, we're our dirtiest. We're full of sin. We're waiting and longing for that moment when we'll be able to start fresh again. And that weight, I think, weighs down on our shoulders in a very heavy way. The world feels a little bit unstable. The world feels a bit unhealthy. I want to read you the words of the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Pei Hei. It's the mitzvah of Avodas Yom Kippurim. And he describes the Sefer HaChinuch always as Mishar Shea Mitzvah. What's the shorish? What's the root of this mitzvah? Rav Soloveitchik used to point out, it's not Tameh HaMitzvah. We don't know the reasons for mitzvahs, but Shor Shea Mitzvah, you want to understand at least, where is the mitzvah rooted? Where is it coming from? What's the shorish of Yom Kippur? The opportunity to do tshuva. Mishar Shea Mitzvah Shai Michaste Akel Al Briyosov Likvo Alan Yom Echad B'Shono Lechapara Al Chatan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His infinite kindness, decides to carve out a place in time, a moment in time, a day within the calendar year, where we can do teshuva, where we can receive kapar for all of our sins. Ima tshuva sheyashuvu, says the Sefer HaChinuch, sheilu yiskabsu avonos habrios shana shana. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not give us this day, once a year, if the averus would add up from year after year, tismale saasam lesof shnasayim o shalosh, within 2 or 3 years, our averus would be so significant, it would amass to so much, v'yischayev ha'olam klaya, the world would be worthy of destruction. The world would need to be destroyed. Hashem would have to say, I have to start all over. In 2 or 3 years, this was the Sefer HaChinuch, one of the Rishonim writing. Can you imagine today? Imagine today, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His infinite kindness, holds off on all the averos that we do, all of the mistakes that we make, the misjudgments, the poor decisions. We'd probably, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't so generous, we'd probably destroy the world in an hour, maybe a minute. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, at least every year we need to clean up. We need to start over. And it's a lot. There's a terrible pressure that's riding on our shoulders. Rabbi Sol Salanter had a relative named David Lipkin. David Lipkin was a great Musar giant in his own right, not as well known as his relative, of course, Rabbi Sol Salanter. So Rabbi David Lipkin was known for his precious. He spent a lot of time in the base Musar in Kovno. And one year was Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh Mevarchin Elul. You know, you read stories, some of it's true, some of it's history, some of it's folklore, about what that was like in the shuls and back in the day when they would just announce that Chodesh Elul is upon us. And people would faint, people would burst out into tears. I mean, there was a real intensity. We don't feel it necessarily so much these days. Anyways, this Rav David Lipkin it was that Shabbos, Mevarchin Chodesh Elul. And there happens to have been a very large crowd in the shul that day. And after Davin, he got up, he said, I want to share with you a perspective from my relative, Rav Yisrael Salanter. How did Rav Yisrael Salanter explain, in his unique way, a mashal for what the avoda of Elul is? He says, imagine a conductor responsible for a train, and this conductor decided with his powerful train, his massive engine, he decides to spend 11 months racing full speed down a massive slope, down this magnificent steep hill. And then at the end of 11 months, the conductor decides, He says, in the next month, I'm going to try to do what seems to be unthinkable. I'm going to try to climb back up the amount that I've descended over the course of these past 11 months. In a single month. Can you imagine how much effort that's going to take? Non-stop to drive that train, to push the train, to challenge himself to cover the amount of ground in reverse what he'd accomplished in the previous 11 months. Senator of David Lipkin, that's where we saw Salanter's mashal of Ella. Ella is the time where we're trying to, in this flurry of activity, to somehow turn it all around, to undo some of the terrible mistakes we made these past 11 months. And again, it's a very painful experience. It's heavy. It weighs upon us. It's a burden. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this year I'm going to get it right. You know, they say the Rebbe Reb Zusha of Anapoli, one of the great Hasidic masters. Reb Zusha used to say to Hashem every year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he used to refer to himself in the third person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this year Zusha is going to serve you properly. Zusha is really going to do tshuva this year. And if you'll say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I told you the same thing last year. Zusha said the same thing last year. But this year I really mean it. How many of us feel the Reb Zusha inside of us? You know, last year I said, I'm going to get it right this year. I'm going to turn it around, I'm going to get my act together. And then time goes on, and we have many responsibilities, and we make some poor mistakes, and the thing that I was going to be perfect about, I'm not so perfect about it. Once I'm not so perfect, I feel like giving up, and I don't work to be attacking that midah, whatever it is that we're striving for, whatever it is we're working on. And then we come back to this time of the year, and we say, no, this year I'm going to get it right. And Hashem, I know you're going to say, yeah, but you told me that last year, but this year I really mean it. This year I'm really going to try to turn it around. You know, I don't know what year everyone is in. I'm sure some of you are starting CERN. Maybe it's your first year, by show of hands. Who's new? Anyone new? Okay. Means everyone else has been here for a period of time. Right? Different people, different stages of life, different goals. But I think if there's one goal as we start a new year, there's one goal that I think we all have in common, a common desire, is that this should be the best year of our lives. Who wouldn't want this year, this coming year, compared to all my previous, I want this year to be the best year of my life. So the question is, so what happened last year? Why didn't, when Reb Zusha came before HaKadosh Baruch Hu last year, I said, this year is going to be the best year. And it didn't work out, and he comes back and says, but Hashem, this year is really going to be the best year. So let's try to understand, what went wrong? Why wasn't last year as perfect? We can always do better. If we're honest with ourselves, we make a cheshbon and a nefesh, there's always more to do. Were we not sincere? Last Elul, last Rosh Hashanah, last Yom Kippur, when we stood, when we davened in shul, when we were fasting, maybe a few tears came to our eyes, we listened to the beautiful sound of the shofar, the chazan, we weren't moved by that, it wasn't sincere at that moment, so what happened? Why didn't it last? Why did it fall apart? So there's a famous Zvart, many quoted from the Satmar Rebbe, Zatzal. It's really an idea that his grandfather, the Yitav Lev, Yitav Lev is the name of the Sefer of the Satmar Rebbe's grandfather. Satmar Rebbe, Rav Yoel titled him, his grandfather, authored a book called the Yitav Lev. And he has a beautiful insight in Parshas Ekev. In Parshas Ekev, we learn about the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks out on Eretz Yisrael, it's a place that Hashem's eyes are constantly upon. Hashem's watching over Eretz Yisrael. Tamei Reinei Hashem Elokecha Ba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes are on the land of Israel. Hashem's watching over His children, watching over His people. What's the end of the Pasuk? Meireishis Hashana V'ad Acharis Shana. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year. But the Yitav Lev picked up on something, and others saw him develop it as well. Did you notice it? Meireishis Hashana V'ad Acharis Shana. I started off the year, and I thought this is going to be Hashana. Hashana, with a Hey idea. This is going to be the year, the transformative year of my life, when everything's finally going to click into place. I've made some efforts in the previous years, and things have moved in the right direction, but this year, everything's going to click into place. And then we finally come to the Acharis. You come to the last month of the calendar year. You come to Chodesh Elul. And you look back on the year and you say to yourself, you shake your head and you say to yourself, this was just Shana. It wasn't Hashana. It wasn't that year I was dreaming of. It was just another year, another passing year. Maybe a little better, a little worse, but it wasn't Hashana. It didn't capture that glorious dream of Hashana. So we sit down in Elul and we start to take upon ourselves, so how can next year be Hashana? How can Zusha get it right next year? He meant it last year, but this year he really means it. This year each and every one of us really mean it. And we start to look for very intense ways. You know, like an extreme life makeover. We want to totally transform everything. All sorts of creative things that we're thinking about. Like, what can I do? Something radical. I need to shake up my life. To do something very different and very significantly different in order to undergo that transformation that we're dreaming of. But what I want to suggest in the few short minutes, I'm going to end on time. 27? 26? Okay, 26, 27. We'll get everyone out on time. If you need to leave early, please, there are no hostages. Everyone's welcome to. I thank you for coming for the first 10 minutes. The question is, how do we make the changes? So I think that the title of this year was Little Actions, Big Differences. Nice title. And I want to speak about that idea. Not dreaming of these massive changes. Not trying to get up that mountain like a Rishon Salanter's mashal. In a single month, I'm going to turn around everything that was downhill the last 11 months. Right? But to find ways to make small changes. And the truth is, I started looking through Sfarim, and you read the writings of some of the great Bali Machshava, the great Bali Musar, the great Tzaddikim and Gedolim of the generations. And you read their Torah, and you read stories about their lives, and you read their actual diaries, their personal Kabbalahs this time of year. And there was never anything extreme at all. It was very realistic things. Very simple things. You know, maybe you've heard that they say about Rav Shach took upon himself one year to always bench out of a bencher. Rav Shach knew benching by heart. He was Rosh Yeshiva, the Panovich Yeshiva. I can assure you he knew the benching by heart. And yet he took upon himself to bench out of a bencher. When he thought that was too much, he limited it. He said, well, I'm only going to bench out of a bencher if I'm in a particular place with a particular crowd or a particular type of meal. Right? Such a small Kabbalah. And yet, here we have a great individual who understood that it's the small things, it's the little changes that we try to make in our life that make a big difference. It leads to the big differences. This past Shabbos, we read Parshas Kisavo. Parshas Kisavo begins with the beautiful, the poetic and beautiful description, all the more so if you learn the Mishnayos, if you learn the passages in the Talmud Yerushalmi or the Gemaras that quote, that reference the story of the Bikur. The first fruits, the Lakachta, Meirashis, a person takes from the first fruits of his land. The farmer Bob, who's been out there, you know, working the land, plowing and planting and watering. And now finally he starts to see the first fruits, the fruits of Eretz Yisrael start to blossom. And he goes down to his field, as the Mishnah is described, he takes a little red bendela that some lady at the Kotel probably gave him, and he ties it around that first fruit, marking that this fruit is for Hashem. And when the time comes, he's going to take, in a very literal sense, the fruit of his labor, and he's going to bring it up to the Beis HaMikdash to present it to the Kohen. There's a mitzvah of Kriyas Bikurim, in addition to bringing the Bikurim, special Pesukim that we recite. Arami Yovei Ravi, we describe the success, the victory of Klal Yisrael. We're in Eretz Yisrael. We're living in the land. We're developing the land. It's a gevaldik, beautiful, beautiful thing. The Mishnayos describe that when people would come, they'd gather first in their local town squares. Then, as the groups would gather, they would come up all together, up to Yerushalayim. Beautiful musical instruments, animals adorned in all sorts of crowns and interesting things. A very magnificent display. And when they come up to Yerushalayim, the Mishnayos describe that the people of Yerushalayim would come out to greet them. The chashuv of the people of Yerushalayim. The workers. Everyone would stop their business. Everyone would come out and they would clap as the chalil was playing in the streets. People coming up with their big baskets of fruits, their donations to the Beis HaMikdash. People would come out. They would line the streets. They would stand there in their honor. They would salute to them. I don't know if they would actually salute them. They'd clap for them. They'd welcome them to Yerushalayim. But there's a Gemara in Kedushin on Daf Lamed Gimel. The Gemara in Kedushin says, why is it? Why is it so that the people of Yerushalayim have to welcome them with such fanfare? Singing and dancing and clapping and welcoming them. Come into Yerushalayim. We're so happy to see you. We're so proud of you for bringing your first fruits. Says the Gemara, because if we don't show them the proper respect, if we don't come out to honor them, we're concerned, says the Gemara, that it's going to cause a michshol l'asid lavo. Next year they're not going to come. They'll be insulted. No one cares. No one's interested. No one's watching us. No one sees us bringing our first fruits. Rashi says they're going to feel dejected. They're going to feel broken. And they're not going to come the next year. Now let me ask you a very simple question. Do we have that by any other mitzvah? You know, maybe there's certain points in your life when you're a little kid, right? And you're learning to daven for the first time. Or to pay attention in class. And the teacher says, okay, whoever's davening nicely, I'm going to put a little sticker on your sitter, on a card. If you get 10 stickers, you'll get a prize, or you get a ticket, and then you'll have a lottery, right? And we pat you on the back. And the truth is, we do the same thing when we get older, those of us who have the opportunity to spend time in Eretz Yisrael. Your teachers, your rebbeim, they encourage you, they're happy to see you, they see you growing in your Yiddishkeit. But at some point, real life sets in. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't, the Baskel doesn't come out of Shemayim every time I wake up in the morning. Hashem says, Shkoyach Moshe Tzvi, you put on your tefillin this morning. Hashem's not worried that if he doesn't pat me on the back, I'm not going to get up the next morning and put on a tefillin. And if I don't, whose problem is that? That's my problem. Hashem has to constantly check in with us. We have to constantly, every time you see someone do a mitzvah, you have to pat them on the back, you have to go over and compliment them. It becomes a little bit excessive. So why by the mitzvah bikurim? Why dafka by the mitzvah bikurim do we find such an idea? That if we don't encourage the people who are bringing the bikurim up to Yerushalayim, we're concerned that it's going to create this terrible michshol lasid lafa. This is the question that was asked by the Ben Ish Chai, whose yard site was about a week and a half ago, in the month of Elul, in Yud Gimel Elul. The Ben Ish Chai, Rav Yosef Chaim, was a rav in Baghdad, author of many svarim, a great Svardi Chacham. He raises this question. And he explains as follows. V'nira li b'syata d'shmaya. Masha Amar nivzim be'eneyem, lav mishum heder akima. It's not that they're looking for someone to stand up for them. They wouldn't stand up for. There are limits to how we stand up. You don't have time in Chacham. You stand up. There are halachas in Shulchan Aruch. How many times you have to stand up a day? You don't have to do it every time. There are limits in how we honor people within Yiddishkeit. But why is it so important that the Mevi'ei Bikurim? Are there people just looking for kavod? The Ben Ish Chai says Hadavar is a tapella. That we're so dejected, we're so rejected. They're not going to do the mitzvah. They're not going to listen to Hashem's mitzvah because their friend didn't stand up for them. That's really something we're worried about. The people are so petty. They're just looking for another little bit of kavod. Explains the Ben Ish Chai. The people are coming up to Yerushalayim, and they were very wealthy farmers with big baskets overflowing with fruit. In addition to the bikurim themselves, the Mishnayos describe Tosefis Bikurim. You can add other fruits to make your basket. You know, it's like Mishloach Manos, where everyone's trying to outdo each other with the who can come up with the craziest theme for Mishloach Manos. Right? So everyone's trying to come with a bigger basket with more fruit. Iturei Bikurim, Tosefis Bikurim, Bikurim. But you could also have a Metzias, you could also have a reality of a farmer, says the Ben Ish Chai, who wasn't so successful. And when he goes back down to his field at the end of the season to gather up some of his first fruits, he doesn't have much to offer. Maybe he has one little fig. Maybe he has a small cluster of grapes. And here there's this great fanfare on the way to Yerushalayim. Karbanos, animals leading the way with crowns on their head. People playing musical instruments. People carrying cartloads full of bikurim. And Nebuch, this poor guy, is going up with one little fig in his hand. And he's embarrassed. He says to himself, does anyone care about this little fig? Does the Kodesh Baruch Hu really care that I came all this way to hand off fig to the Kohen and to recite a couple of psukim? Does my avoda matter? Is it significant? Says the Ben Ish Chai. The people of Yerushalayim come out and they clap for this individual with his little fig, with his handful of grapes, and they say to him, yes, your avoda is significant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does appreciate that you came all this way. And it doesn't matter that there are other people who have nicer Mishloach Manos, nicer Bikurim baskets, overflowing with fruit. Your avoda is significant to a Kadosh Baruch. Nothing you do, nothing that a Jew does is small in the eyes of Hashem. You know, this year we have this chus, one of the new faculty members in Yeshiva, is Moshe Weinberger. And he spoke yesterday to the BMP program, which I teach in. And he said a beautiful line from the Kotzker Rebbe. Kotzker Rebbe one time was standing with another fellow, and Kotzker Rebbe pointed to a Jew on the other side of the room, and he said to this fellow standing next to him, tell me, do you know who that is? I kind of recognize him, but do you know his name? Who is he? So the fellow standing next to the Kotzker said, Stam a Yid. That's a Jew, some guy. So the Kotzker Rebbe said back to him, by me, Stam stands for Svarim Tefillin Mezuzos. Stam in halachic literature is a reference to Sefer Torah, Tefillin Mezuzos. So what to one person might be Stam, it's nothing of Chashivas, it's not really worth recognizing. I don't even need to know that Jew's name. It's just Stam a Yid. To someone else, it could be the Kedusha of the Torah, the Kedusha of a Tefillin, the Kedusha of Mezuzos. Right? To look at the things that we do the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the things that we do. To realize that little fig that we're taking up to Yerushalayim matters to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's interested in it. And he's appreciative, as are all of the people of Yerushalayim, to see this farmer traveling all this way just to bring one little fig up to the Beis HaMikdash. Now I said, I thanked Rachel Cement for arranging to get me here. One of the things she helped me with was to arrange my transportation. So as I was dozing off in the back of the car on my ride down here, I was reminded of a story. A story with the Stipler Gaon. There was a taxi driver from Bnei Brak who had this chus one time of driving the Stipler Gaon. You know, to be a taxi driver, you get a lot of interesting characters in the back seat of your car. Once in a while, you never know, a famous personality, a celebrity. You know who are Jewish celebrities? Jewish celebrities are Gedolim, our Tzaddikim, our Talmidei Chachamim. The Stipler Gaon. Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Kanievsky got into the back of this cab one time in Bnei Brak. And he struck up a conversation with the simple cab driver. And he said to him, "Tell me, what's a day in your life like?" So he says, "You know, I'm up early, a daven, but most of the day I spend driving my cab. I'm here, I'm there, all around Eretz Yisrael." So the sniper goes and said to him, "Tell me, do you have any time to learn? Maybe you have a few minutes to learn?" So he says, "The truth is, at night I go to a shir." And the sniper said, that's very wonderful. So he said, "You know, Rebbe, let me tell you the truth." He says, "Can I tell you what happens every single night when I go to the shir? Come out every single night, if not every single night?" He says, "I get to the shir, it's a Gemara shir. A Gemara Be'iyun shir. I sit down, the Magid shir gets up, he starts to speak. I have my finger on the place for about half a line, and then..." Ever been there? Right, where your head's like about to snap off? Dozing. And he says, I fall into a slumber after a long day of driving all around the Eretz Yisrael. And he says, you know, usually at the end, and they clap, Hurachu, and from Arv, you know, I pop up, and that's my Limud Torah for the day. And he says, obviously, you can imagine I'm not too proud of it. And the Stipler Gaon said to him, now, I don't know how great rabbis know these things, but if the Stipler Gaon said it, I don't think we could blow it off so easily. The Stipler Gaon said to him, Do you think that you're learning those 5 seconds that you're awake before you fall asleep? And even those moments that you're passed out on the Gemara, do you think they're not important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu would like if you were alert and awake and attentive and involved throughout the entire shir. But don't you realize how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates just the fact that after a long day, after falling asleep for the last week, you'd still pushed yourself to come back out and go to the shir a second time? Another week, another month. You don't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu smiles down? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the person and says, "I see, no matter how insignificant it seems, you're avoda. I see that you're trying." Last night I was sitting at my dining room table trying to prepare some thoughts to share with you today. And there was a tiny little mosquito. Not a big mosquito, a tiny mosquito. That was hounding me for hours. Literally for hours. And it took me probably 3 times as long to prepare this year because I couldn't catch this mosquito. You know, every second. He was like... It was... Finally, in the end, Hashem helped me to catch the little guy. And I was thinking to myself, here I am. I was asked to speak about the importance of little things making a difference, right? And you wonder, well, you know, what kind of difference can a little mosquito make? I'll tell you what kind of difference a mosquito made. It cost me hours of my life last night. Literally. And I got the scars to prove it. Right? A tiny mosquito. But a mosquito who's doing his avoda can make a big difference. So alachas kam v'kama, a Jew, who pushes himself or herself to come to the base measures to learn. Look how many people are here today. It's unbelievable. I was hoping I'd have like 5-10 people. Maybe people I know from the summer or whatever. This is amazing. Right? In a busy day. And maybe you'll fall asleep. Maybe some of you are falling asleep right now. I'm putting you to sleep already. Right? But you try to be here. And it's important to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to realize those little things that we do. But Shlomo Freifeld had a student. Shlomo Freifeld started the Shar Yashiv Yeshiva. Don't be fooled. If you've ever been to Shar Yashiv, or if you know about Shar Yashiv, don't be fooled by what you see today. It wasn't always like that. Shar Yashiv today, it's an elite yeshiva. People, you know, who look the standard mold today of a ben yeshiva, white shirts, black pants. You know, it looks like a yeshiva, like many of the yeshivas of the world. Baruch Hashem and YU, we have a little more color, keep it more interesting. But many yeshivas, they're kind of boring in that way. White, black, you know. I think everyone knows what I'm talking about. When Shar Yashiv started, Reb Freifeld was taking Jewish kids, American kids, with ripped jeans and t-shirts. Some had ponytails, some even had earrings. And he begged their parents to send them to the yeshiva. I just want to try to learn with your sons. Keep them out of public school, to give them an opportunity to see what Torah is. And some parents were nice enough to give this radical rabbi a chance to sit and learn with their sons. There was a young man who wanted to learn Gemara very badly. But he looked at Shas, 2,711 pages, and he said, "I'll never get anywhere. I mean, even if I gave every bit of my energy to it, how am I ever gonna crack the code, the inner logic of Chazal? It was just too overwhelming for me." And Reb Freifeld took one page of the Gemara, and he had it printed in a beautiful way, bound, leather bound, a single daf of Gemara. And he presented it to this Talmud and he said, "This is your Shas. This is your Masechta. This is your Siyam. Let's learn one page together. And we'll make a gala Siyam to celebrate your accomplishments." But it's not only for the person who feels like that's all I can do. Right? It's a person who can do a lot more also has to realize the value of the little things that we do. Do we have any idea what a mitzvah is worth? Anyone here have a sense of what a mitzvah is worth? In this world or in higher spheres?
Mishnah Pirkei Avos, treat the mitzvahs properly, respectfully. We have no idea the value of a mitzvah. Any little bit of avodah that we do, it's something we should be very proud of. We should be a source of splendor in our life. You know, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos describes how a person should strike a balance in life. How do you know the proper path that a person should walk upon? Second parak of Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Rabbi Omer, Ezu Derech Yeshara Sheyivor Lo Adam. What is the proper path that a person should choose? Kol Shvi Teferes Lo Asav, Teferes Lo Ben Adam. Balance. Jewish people have to be balanced, like the Rambam, Shvila Zav. We're not extreme. Everyone's trying to be safer. There was a Rav. Someone asked him, about a certain group and a certain behavior, and said, "Is it okay to be extreme?" He said, "Yes, it's very good to be extreme, but you have to know what to be extreme about. For Jews, it's good to be extreme about being normal, about being balanced, right? So we're not. We try not to be extreme. We try to be balanced, normal people." Says Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, "What's the proper path the person should choose? Kol shitif eres lo'osea, do things that are beneficial lo'osea for the one who does it. If it's eres lo'min adam, and it's seen nicely by others. If it's entirely self-serving, that's not good." If it's entirely about others, that's not good to yourself. It's abusive to oneself. A person has to treat himself or herself nicely as well. So, Ezehu derech yishara sheyivra lo adam, what's the proper path a person should choose? If it's good for you and good for others. Mishnah Pirkei Avos. There was a Holocaust survivor by the name of Rav God Eisner. He was called lovingly Rav Gidel Eisner. Rav Gadol Eisner. Rav God Eisner was a mashkiach in the Chidushei Harim Yeshiva, the Ger Yeshiva in Tel Aviv. Unfortunately, after the war, he was never blessed with children of his own, biological children. He had hundreds, maybe thousands of Talmidim. They put out a little sefer of his writings called Mesilas God. And in there, listen to his explanation of the Mishnah. Look how he reads the Mishnah. I know it's not Pashup Shah, but listen to how he reads the Mishnah. Eizu derech esharas sheyivor lo adam. What's the proper path a person should choose? Kol shi teferes lo asah. Kol shi, you did something, anything, teferes lo asah. You should be very proud of yourself. Because guess what? There are a lot of people who don't do anything with their lives. I spent this past Shabbos in Houston, Texas. I was sent to spend Shabbos with the community there. Amazing. Anyone here from Texas? I didn't think so. Oh, yeah, Texas?
Dallas,
okay. That's pretty far from Houston.
Yeah.
I've been told. Okay, I spent Shabbos in Houston, Texas. And I always think, when I'm in the airport, you know, I try to use my time responsibly. I try to learn a little bit on the plane, in the airport. And I look around and I see the activities that many of the people of the world, and they should all be blessed, they should do what makes them happy. But I think how lucky I am to be a Jew. To be able to engage in meaningful activities throughout my day. I looked around and I saw people on the plane literally for 4 hours straight doing crossword puzzles. Now there's nothing wrong with doing a crossword puzzle. You can be normal, that's okay. But I'm thinking, Anu Amelim V'Heim Amelim. Here I am trying to prepare a shira to share with my Talmidim in YU. And someone next to me is sitting for 4 hours, you know, doing a crossword puzzle. Or reading People magazine to get the latest gossip about, you know, J-Lo or whatever. I mean, right? So to think of it, you're impressed I know J-Lo? J-Lo's old already. That's not even such a good reference. But to realize, Kolshi, you did something. You're seeking purpose in life. You're trying to do meaningful things. Right? Tiferes lo seh, you should be so proud of yourself. Tiferes lo mena adam. It's something that's glorious within humanity. The world should stand up for you and clap for you. Now again, that doesn't happen every time. But we have to be proud of the little things that we do. We have to stop dreaming of that big change, of getting up that mountain and that mushroom from where we saw Salanter in a single month. It's like a person who's trying to, you know, what are you doing for Parnassa? I'm planning on winning the lottery. That's like not the best career path. I know people who, I have a brother who's convinced he's going to win the lottery. He's totally convinced, and a lot of people, I'm convinced that he's going to win the lottery. He's good at like convincing people in that way. Right, but it's not. I don't think they offer a major in college. You know, how to win the lottery. It's not the most sound economical plan. Right? A person wants to make money. A person wants to be well off. You have to spend your money responsibly, and you have to save up your money responsibly. You can't decide that I'm going to wait and I'm going to put this, you know, lump sum in the bank. I'll put aside a little bit and a little bit and a little bit, and you know what? And it adds up. It really adds up. And then a person is able to look back at all of those little bits of change that they put away in their bank account. And when the time comes and they need it for something big, they're saving for a wedding of a child, a big simcha, it's there. It didn't happen instantly. It happened by the little efforts that a person made along the way. Anyone here ever have the opportunity to save someone's life? You can be honest. Anyone? Save someone's life physically? You seem like a very inspiring group. I'm sure you've saved many spiritually lost souls. Have you ever saved someone's life physically? They're walking down the street and you like pull someone out of in front of a in front of a car or something like that, a lifeguard maybe. Right? Can you imagine the feeling of I never saved anyone's life physically, not that I know of. Can you imagine one day you're walking down the street and all of a sudden you see a little girl standing on the sidewalk with her, you know, bouncy ball, and all of a sudden the ball rolls into the street, and the little girl starts chasing after it, and you see, you're standing half a block away, you see the girl walking out into the street without looking, and you start running down the street full speed ahead, with superhuman strength, you run, and you grab the girl by her shirt, and you pull her out of the way at the last second, just before she gets, God forbid, crushed to death by a car. Can you imagine how you'd feel in that moment? And can you imagine how you'd feel as you watch that little first grade girl, now she's in second grade, now she's in fifth grade, now she's in eighth grade, now she's in high school, she's the valedictorian of her class. She's making a difference in the world. You dance by her chasana. You see the family that she raises. And every time, every bit of accomplishment that you see, every success that she has, you feel that I have something to do with that. If not for me, none of this would have happened. And she gets up and she wins a Nobel Peace Prize. That's me. That was the day I saved her in front of that car coming down the street. Can you imagine how we'd feel? What that would be like to wake up in the morning just to think to ourselves, you know, hey, there's someone on planet Earth who's only alive because of me. It's an amazing feeling. But the Rambam says there's an even more amazing feeling. And it's a person who does little mitzvahs. It's not the big, grand thing, that life-altering moment that really defines our lives. Listen to the word. Don't trust me. Listen to the words of the Rambam. The Rambam in Pirkei Avos, on the Mishnah, V'chol lefi rov hamaseh, the Rambam in very few words, Avalo lefi godel hamaseh. It's not about how big the action is. It's about how often, how often do you do that action? Rov hamaisa. How often do you repeat that action? It can be something very small. My wife always describes to me that when she was in Stern, she describes the scene of the stairwells, the mincha stairwell scene. I don't know if the people do that. My girl's davening mincha like between classes in the stairwells. That still goes on. It happens. Okay, maybe it's the lost art of prayer that Rosalvich gets to describe. Right? A person who grabs 5 minutes in a stairwell to turn a stairwell into a makom tefillah. Right? And you think, I'm rushing between classes, I'm grabbing my dinner, I have 2 minutes here, I have 2 minutes there. What does it add up to? Says the Rambam, it's not lefi godel hamaisa, it's lefi rov hamaisa. It's the time that you made a bracha when you were standing in a public place, when you're walking out on the streets of Manhattan, and you felt a little funny about it. And you did it anyways with Kavana. It was the time that you picked up the phone and you called a friend and left a message or even sent a text to a friend that you haven't spoken to in a long time who you know is going through a religious struggle. It's those little things that add up that transform our lives, says the Rambam. It's not any one big activity, no life-saving event that defines and shapes our life. One of the problems that we have is that we don't see how it adds up. We look at the little thing, the little activity, the little mitzvah independently, and we don't see how it ties into the bigger picture. So I want to share with you a mashal from Rav Zadel Epstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Rav Zadel Epstein once offered the following mashal. Imagine a person who had to travel, again, thousands of miles. His fellow doesn't have a car, and his friend happens to have a car. His friend is a good guy, he's generous, he's willing to share, and he says, can I borrow your car? Sure, you can borrow my car. He says, well, is your car going to work? I have to travel on this very dark road, there are no lampposts along the way, there's no lights. He says, don't worry, my car has lights. So the guy's all excited, he takes the keys, he gets in the car, he turns on the lights, shuts off the car, comes back to his friend. This isn't going to help me. He says, why not? He says, I have to travel hundreds, maybe thousands of miles. Your lights shine 6 feet. That's not going to get me anywhere. So his friend says, you're such a tippish. You're such a fool. Don't you realize that once you travel those first 6 feet, then the light will travel with you, and the light will go another 6 feet, and another 6 feet, until eventually you reach that destination? Says Rav Zadel Epstein, sometimes you look at the entirety of Torah. The person says, I want to learn all of Tanakh. Person says, I want to become proficient in the Mishnah Berurah, all 6 volumes of it. Person says, I want to be able to daven on a regular basis and never to miss. Right? And it becomes so overwhelming that we shut down. Says Rav Zadel Epstein, 6 feet, 6 feet, 6 feet. And you'll see how far that light can actually travel, how far it'll actually take you, how far it adds up. I want to share a quote. It's a chus to come to Stern. I want to share a quote from the Rav. For Salvechik, as everyone knows, was one of the great Torah teachers of our generation. And the Rav described in a hesped that he gave for Rabbi Moshe Dov Ber Rivkin. Rabbi Rivkin was a Rosh Yeshiva, if I'm not mistaken, in Torah Vadas. He was Lubavitcher Chassid. And the Rav reflected on his life as a young boy when the Rav in the town of Chaslavish in White Russia had a Rebbe, a Malamed, as a young boy. a Rebbe who taught him a feeling for Chassidus and a feeling for Pnimiyas HaTorah. And he describes, we don't have time to go into the whole thing now, the Rav describes his relationship with Chabad and how it was so different and radically different from the Brisker world, his tradition, his family tradition. And he describes how the Malamed inspired him. Listen to the words. These are the words of the Rav from that eulogy. It goes back to the year 1976. The Malamed inspired me with his descriptions of the kingship of God and of the spheros, or emanations from the divine presence. The Malamed had studied in the yeshiva in Lubavitch, and his method of speech uplifted and transformed me. At the time, I was too young to truly comprehend many of the teachings. Only later did I understand and appreciate the lessons to their full depth. He taught me how to pray with emotion and ecstasy, and gave me an appreciation for the high holiday prayers. I often think of him on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Listen to the words of the Rav's Rebbe. His Malamed as a little boy. Do something simple, he would say, but do it with emotion and feeling. You don't have to go for something so big and grand. And again, there's that feeling in Elul, we're so far behind, I need to do something radical. That extreme life-changing makeover. Do something simple. Do it with emotion and feeling. Do it with sincerity. That's the basic message of Chabad. Do something mundane and simple, but do it with divine inspiration and meaning. This is the general message of Chassidus, and certainly the touchstone of Chabad. Says Rav Soloveitchik, it's not about trying to figure something out that I can turn my entire life around in a single moment. It's not realistic. If you do that, Hashanah is just going to become another Shana. But if we set small goals for ourselves, if we set realistic goals for ourselves, if we're willing to just start, to turn on the lights of that car and start driving, we'll see how much it adds up to at the end of the year. Rav Pam, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and I see that we're running out of time, so I'll end in 2 minutes. But I have to share with you this magnificent speech that Rav Pam shared at the Aguda Convention in 1989. It was the month of Kislev. Rav Pam was very active in the Aguda. Rav Pam was a tremendous, tremendous Talmid Chacham, all the more so known for his Midos Tovos. And Rav Pam got up and he started off by saying that we have to take stock of our successes. Of course, we want to strive for more, but part of striving for more means realizing and appreciating that which you've accomplished thus far. And Rav Pam quotes from the Sfas Emes in explaining one of the Kinyanei Torah, a person who wants to acquire Torah has to be Sameach Bechelko. Sameach Bechelko doesn't mean I'm happy with the car I drive, or the clothing that I wear, or the house that I live in. Sameach Bechelko, says the Sfas Emes, says Rav Pam, is Sameach Bechelko Beruchnius, that a person feels satisfied. That doesn't mean I'm not striving for more, but it means that I appreciate that little fig that I brought to the Beis Hamikdash. It appreciates that the kol shehi is Tiferes Lo Osel. That's also a beautiful thing. But then Rav Pam concluded with the following. And if you've studied Tanakh, if you've learned the Sefer of Nehemiah, you'll have a new appreciation for it. Rav Pam describes the scene in Nehemiah. The Jewish people were not in the best of shape, and they were struggling to build the Chomas Yerushalayim. And there were many detractors. There were many people who mocked. The Pasuk says that the thought of building a wall of Yerushalayim, they'll never be able to build it to its glory. Im yala shu'al uparatz chomas avneim. Little sticks and stones trying to make this wall. It looks so unprofessional. A simple fox could tear down the entire wall. And Nehemiah begged the people, do it for me. Just start. Just do something. Can you walk out to the edge of your courtyard and just put down a few stones? Can you do that for me? Is that too much to ask? The people liked Nehemiah. He was a tzaddik. So everyone went out and they built a little fence. And the Pasuk says, in Parak Gimel, multiple times, al yado. That means right by their side. They didn't go very far. They stepped out onto their front lawn and put down a couple of rocks. That was the extent of the building. But what happened? It says Rav Pam, take a look what happened. A few psukim later, Vatikasher hachoma archetzia. All of a sudden the people took a step back and they said, wait a minute, half the wall is already built. Vayihi lev la'am la'asos. And there was a new spirit amongst the people. When they saw that, without even trying, or by barely trying, they had accomplished so much, their spirit was changed. Says Rashi, Vayihi lev la'am la'asos. Kasher neskashra achoma v'nivnes archetzia. When the wall was half built, Azhaya lev ha'am lo tumashoch la'asos binyan achoma. The people were energized. They said, we can actually do this. Because they appreciated the little bit that they had done. The little bit that each person had done. And it transformed the entire scene. And they were able to have the confidence from going from a state of, we can't do this, to yes, we can. We can make a difference. We can change. One little step at a time. I want to just end, and with this I'll really conclude, with the words of the Shem Yishmuel. The Shem Yishmuel describes, you know what, it's so late. I don't want to cut into everyone's time. What time is it? What's the official time? Do I have 2 minutes? Can I do the Shem Yishmuel quickly?
Yeah.
I'm going to do one other last thing after that also. But if anyone needs to step out, you can step out. Very quickly, the Shem Yishmael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he's judging us, he's Maver Rishon Rishon. What does it mean? The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes that first Avera that we do, and he puts it off to the side. If a person is basically 50-50, not basically, a person is exactly 50-50, whatever that means, it's hard to understand. But if you're exactly 50-50, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Maver Rishon Rishon, he takes one of the Averas, he puts it off to the side, and Baruch Hashem Rizocha B'Din. But what happens if you have more Averas? Hashem took that first Averos, he put it off to the side. And then as the year goes on, you have a lot of Averos. So much so that the Averos far outweigh the mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, I didn't erase that first Averos, I just put it off to the side. Unfortunately, you're not worthy being Zochah B'Din, so I'm going to throw that first Averos right back on. Says the Shem Yishmul, the same thing is true. All the more so it's true, Mitzad HaTov. Hinei Midah Tova, Yesera Al Midas Pranas. The good Midah, I see him losing the crowd. The Midah Tova. Have a great day. The Midah Tova is Yaseir Al Midas Pranas, which means that if Hashem puts the Aveir off to the side and is willing to throw it back on if you're not worthy, so what about the mitzvah? What about the mitzvah that didn't really change anything? It was kind of put off to the side. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, when the time's right, I'm going to bring that mitzvah back. And the Shem Yishmul says, Uvechein Al Yipol Leva Adam Alav. Don't be burdened by the thought of how can I do complete tshuva? Says the Shem Yishmul, a little bit at a time. Called Pruta Pruta Mishalemes L'Cheshvon. And not only do my little acts of tshuva that I do in my life add up, but he says that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to, he'll take all of the tshuva of all of history and he'll put it together to get this one act of tshuva shlema to bring Mashiach. Don't be burdened by the thought of I have a personal chrayas to change the world to bring Mashiach. Just do your little part and it'll add up. I want to conclude with something I saw with my own eyes. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, when I was a young man studying in YU in college, I remember seeing Rav Aaron. He wasn't well. And he used to come into the Beis Medrash. They would drive up to the front steps of the Beis Medrash. And he used to want to walk into the Beis Medrash. He had two people holding him, one on each side. And in his very broken way, he would shuffle into the Beis Medrash and plop down in this huge throne they had. It was a tremendous display of Kavod HaTorah at the front of the Beis Medrash. When Rav Aaron passed away, someone showed me a hesped that someone had written. In describing how Rav Aaron, after his suffering, maybe it was a stroke, I'm not sure, in his broken state, in his great pain, what he used to do as he would go up the steps, he would count to himself the way that the Kohen Gadol would count on Yom Kippur. He would take a step and he would say, Achas, Achas v'Achas, Achas v'Shtayim, Achas v'Shalosh, like the Kohen Gadol sprinkling the blood on Yom Kippur. Because he understood that's my avodah. To take that next step, that's my avodah. So Mir Tashem, we should all be Zocha. We should have the courage to take those steps, to turn on the brights of the car, and even if it only shines 8-10 feet, to start driving, to start moving, to start building the wall, you'll see how it adds up. And Amir Tashem, if we take those efforts, if we make those efforts, we'll realize that through the efforts of appreciating Shana, that it wasn't such a bad year. Amir Tashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us, that this year should be HaShana, in every sense that we're dreaming of. I wish you all a chesiv, a chesiv, a tova, and I look forward to learning again, Amir Tashem.